Welcome to another life-changing message from Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Well, welcome to Hungry for God. Let's give our worship team a round of applause. Amen. Amen. Welcome back another Sunday. You guys look great. You guys look amazing. Some of you guys are on vacation. I see some tans and stuff. Or you're just probably just outside too long. And whatever it is, it's a privilege and honor to have you with us here at H4G on this Sunday. First Sunday in August. So, everybody say summer of love. Anybody been loving this summer so far? Someone took a little break to the little cool. Feels like a mixture of fall and summer. But we have one more month to enjoy, month and a half to enjoy our summer. And today we're getting ready to have another fireside chat with two amazing influencers in our city. And so I want you guys to get ready for that. At this time, if you are under the age of 12, we'll be having our kids' church experience in the back. So if you are under the age of 12, you want to be a part of H4G Church kids' experience, you're welcome to come to the back right now, and you guys are going to have your own moment. All right? Amen. Good to see you, Sister Denise. Good to see you. Sister Denise went under a very major surgery last month, and she's here worshiping as usual, smiling as usual. Sister Denise is a fighter, amen. If you don't know, she's fighting for you in prayer and intercession. Sister Denise, just stand up so that we all know. If you don't know, she's always praying, always interceding, always asking about what's going on with you guys, so we want to honor her. So right now, this time, without any further ado, we're going to get ready to have our discussion. Who was here for the very first fireside chat that we had? The very first one we had, about three weeks ago, a few hands was up. Who was not here for the first one? Who was not here for the first one? All right. Now, what we're doing is, basically, instead of me preaching, I wanted to do something different this summer, where I was going to invite some people who are, again, having a major impact on the culture. As you know, guys know, here at H4G, we've been spending some time teaching about the Great Commission, which is what Jesus Christ told the church to do, that he said before he comes back, he wants those who believe in him, who follow him, who have witnessed his resurrection, who have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, who have been saved and know him to be their Lord and Savior. He told us to go into the world and to let people know the good news, let people know about the gospel of the kingdom, and we're supposed to actually look to disciple nations. The Bible says we will disciple nations. He said to go into all the world, preach the gospel, making disciples of all the nations. And so in order for nations to be discipled, I think like the church, we kind of reduce that to just discipling people. You know, so we will evangelize and we'll convert and we'll meet somebody, introduce them to Christ. They'll come to our churches and we'll just disciple them. But when we think about discipling nations, it means it's a lot bigger than that. You know, America is a nation, right? And your island, an island like Haiti or Jamaica is a type of a nation. France is a nation, etc. And God is actually desiring that nations will be discipled by kingdom values and principles. In order for a nation to be discipled, it means that people must be in positions of influence, or they must be in close proximity to people with influence, and they must influence the people with influence in order to see the kingdom of God influencing the nations. Does that make sense? So it's not just about us going on a street corner and preaching about Jesus. It's a lot bigger than that. It's not just us giving our tracts and then saying Jesus is coming back. God wants us to actually go into all of the major spheres of influence of culture so that we can have impact there. So we learned, thank you. So we learned last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the seven major systems that influence culture. And we talked about how that's religion, family, the family mountain, the business mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, art and entertainment, and media. These are the seven major mountains that shape culture. And anyone who has influence in any one of those mountains can actually influence how the people in the culture operate and function and live their lives. Okay? If you want to know anything more about any of that, go back into our podcast and actually listen in and get a hold of that so that you can figure out what we're talking about, all right? But all of this, I'm saying all this so that we can make the connection between our guests who are about to come up and they're making an impact in the ways that they are doing it. Amen. So I want you guys to stand on your feet and I want them to introduce themselves as they come up. All right. So let's all stand, H4G, and give them a big H4G welcome. Sit down. All right. Oh, thank you. I think we can just grab the other mics so we can have. Amen. All right. So I'll let you guys introduce yourselves. I want you guys to tell us your names, what you do. I want them to do it. And then from there, we're going to be having a little conversation, all right? So, ladies first.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's an honor to be here. I'm Malia McNaughton. I am a jewelry designer based in the Bronx. I'm also a model assigned to an agency in New York. I'm also... I'm someone who has always said that I hope that my journey glorifies God and glorifies the fact that I'm even here. The process of me becoming a jewelry designer has been a very long one, but I know that it's all because of the journey that I took about 4.5 years ago. So I'm just grateful to be able to share that and to share that. It's kind of full circle to be here because my journey started in the church, so I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Great, great. Pastor Samuel, thank you for the invitation. His lovely wife and church family. My name is Jeff Lindor, and I'm a social entrepreneur. My company is called Groom Success, which is a gentleman's social network that helps men sharpen skills, enhance appearance, and connect socially. And it's really, you know, based upon my passion for community, my love for God, and my mission to help solve the problems that, you know, causes men of color to not really fully experience our true potential. So, you know, so I've been, you know, doing it full time for a year, and God has certainly been opening some tremendous doors. Prior to that, I worked in city government. I was the advisor to the commissioner of the Department of Corrections, so overseeing criminal justice reform on Rikers Island. And God, you know, really, placed me in that position. I don't have a law enforcement background, but he strategically placed me in that position so I could really see what was going on in society, particularly in the criminal justice system as it affects men of color. So that strengthened my passion to serve God's people and make some money over it too, right? You know, so things have been really great, and I'll tell you more about my journey, but it's truly an honor to be here.
All right, awesome, right? So I'm gonna jump on something you said. So you said you were a model, before you started doing your jewelry business?
So yes, I started modeling right around the same time, actually.
Okay. Yeah. And so, in regards to, so that means you know you're connected to the fashion world and things like that. I think that one of the first things that some people have in mind is that for a believer in modeling, you know, that those two worlds to interconnect. What is that like? Knowing that you are, I mean, I don't know what you model, I don't know, you know, what you wear, what lines you run with and things like that, but just share a little bit about that, like, you know, the connection between fashion, modeling, and your faith.
Okay, that's a great question. So I worked in the fashion industry for about 7 years. I actually studied fashion in college. I went to Florida State University. And when I got to New York, I kind of just hit the ground running. I started, you know, just seeing the behind the scenes, working with major labels. And what I saw behind the scenes didn't reflect what I thought I wanted to experience. The industry can be very jaded and very dark. And I knew that it was changing my personality, which is kind of what led me back to church and kind of discovering, okay, what do I want to do? Because what I thought I wanted and what I had worked so hard to get to doesn't really look like the person that I am. The people are not who, in any industry you work in, people will be, you know, not as welcoming. But it was also the challenge of being a black woman in fashion and trying to climb the ladder that I really found to be challenging. And so, as a model, you're exposed to the industry again in another way, because now you're asked to wear brands or wear labels that you may not believe in their vision. And so that's where I've kind of been tested. And because I own my own jewelry company too, even when I decide to put out certain images, I want to make sure that they're reflective of myself and of my beliefs. And so I want to make sure that if it pops up on the internet 10 years from now, I'm not going to be ashamed of it. It's, you know, me walking in my truth. So I would say that what's held me down is remaining authentic no matter what. So if I am asked to do a job that I don't believe in, I turn it down. I would say, okay, for example, last year, I was featured on the Today Show, and I was a natural hair model, and they asked me after the whole incident happened, basically the stylist ruined my hair on national TV, and...
all the natural hair women know
yes.
who you are
yes.
now.
Yeah, so she ruined my hair, and I remember being called by every national network, from TMZ all the way down to Yahoo Style. And the Insider Edition wanted me to come on, and they were going to pay me. But the catch was that I had to drag the stylist through the mud, and I refused to do it. I said, there's not a price that you guys can pay me to do that. So I said, if you guys do it in a positive light, I'll sign up. And they said, no, we want you to be negative. We want you, you know, they tried to make it sound nice. But they wanted me basically to redo it and kind of clown her, and I refused to do it. And so my agency called me, and they're like, you sure you want to do it? It's a lot of money. And I'm like, no, I won't do it because my conscience won't let me. And I didn't want to get to a point where I was on national TV because of somebody else and for putting somebody else down, because that only lasts for 2 minutes. So I wanted to build it on, thank you. I wanted to build it on my own basis and not shame somebody in the process. So that would be the best example I could think of when I was tested to do something that I didn't stand for.
Wow, come on. But you see what I was mentioned last week, that when Jesus was starting his ministry, the temptation, the enemy said, I'll give you these things if you just worship me. He was basically asking to sell his soul right then and there. You know, and I said it, right? When you're getting ready to go into a certain mountain, the enemy will always try to get you to compromise on something early on. Because that one moment you compromise, he can throw that up in your face 5 years later, 10 years later, say, remember when you did that? And you're too afraid or too ashamed to speak up. And that's why a lot of these people who you say, like, why don't they say something about something? It's because they can't. If they say something about an issue, The devil got something on them that he's going to bring out against them. So it's very important that we learn not to compromise, keep our standards, understand that worship is more than just our song. It's our life, and it means taking a stand, right? So we're going to get back to that. So Jeff, as I mentioned, I know, you know, me and him, we have a close relationship, and like he mentioned, you said that you left your comfortable, secure job working with the city to start your own company, not as a non-profit organization, oh, it's for-profit, a for-profit organization, all right? So, it's very important. It's true, a lot of Christians feel like they're afraid to make profit, and not everything we start got to be not-for-profit. So, in terms of that leap of faith, you know, what was the motivation factor behind that? Because I know many Christians right now who have great ideas, and you said that your idea was literally birthed in watching what was going on behind prison. What were some of the things that you saw that just kind of like gave you that momentum you needed to just say, you know what, I got to do something about this?
Well, it was so as I was looking back at like what led me to, take this leap of faith, I mean, it was divine intervention. When I got the job at the Department of Correction, I was, you know, in graduate school, and I went to an event, and networking is very important, right? You know, but I went to an event, and, you know, a friend of mine, I saw her. She was like, hey, Jeff, you're about to graduate with your master's, right? I said, yeah. She was like, yeah, you know what, this is a really great job. That I think it would be perfect for. And I said, okay, sure, where? And she said, Department of Correction. And I automatically said, no, I'm not trying to go to jail. No, I'm not about that life, right? You know, I'm not about that life. I mean, you know, no, like, you know, like I wear bow ties all the time. Right? Like, that's not mine. But then, you know, long story short, you know, I get the job, and it's over six figures, and, you know, it's a very powerful position. I'm advising, you know, the, you know, city hall, advising executive staff, etc. So it's a very powerful job, right? And again, I don't have a law enforcement background, but, you know, but when I was applying for the job, or when I got the job, I had to fill out an application. And in the application, I had to write, like, how I would envision the agency 5 years from now and what I would contribute to it, right? So anyway, I'm loving the job, very influential, having a really great time, very passionate about the job, and also having groomed success at the same time, right? So like I'm doing events, etc. But groomed success was just more of like a part-time, you know, hobby, sort of say, birthed on my passion. So anyway, you know, every single morning I would always pray, and I would always, you know, that's like my devotion. And I remember one time, you know, I was praying, and you know, listening to music and just really like be, you know, that's my like daily connection. And I heard the voice of God say, prepare your exit strategy, right? Then I said to myself, wait, yo, no, right? You know, and again, I love the job, and it was a really hectic job, but I just loved it. And every single day I would always, you know, love going there. And then ever since I heard that word, you know, I just couldn't be there anymore, right? You know, and then I would just get so annoyed, and I would just feel as though, yo, you know what, this is not where I need to be. Mind you, over $100,000 a year, extremely influential. I had the power to do, you know, a lot of things within not only the agency, but in the city, right? Then, you know, I then, you know, speak to my wife. And then I speak to my boss, and I say, yo, you know what, I'm going to leave, right? You know, and I didn't have a plan. I mean, you know, I saved some money.
What did your wife say?
So, well, you see, and that's why, you know, it's always great to marry somebody that believes in your purpose and believes in your mission, right? You know? Because, you know, she knows that I'm not, like, the emotional person that's just like, oh, you know what, I'm doing this today and doing this tomorrow. You know, so she saw the work that I've been doing. And also, she knows, like, we've been married for 6 years, so she really understands my heart and my passion and my calling. So, long story short, I then tell my boss, and I'm saying I'm leaving. I gave him a two-month
month notice. And the day before I left my job, you know, I looked at the letter that I wrote when I was applying for it. And everything that I said that I was supposed to do, I did. So I was no longer in my purpose, right? You know? So, and then ever since then, I mean, things have been, you know, things have been rocky, but I mean, things have been beautiful because I feel, because I know that this is divine intervention.
Absolutely. I know the feeling. And wow, and so from when I last saw on your page, it was a connection with Google that you guys made.
Yeah. I mean, so God has been opening so many doors, right? So we have partnerships with Google, we're going to be doing other things with Microsoft and ESPN, and so it's like everything, and it's really interesting how the company is because it's literally my life being poured into this, right? So it's every connection that I've had, every strategy that I've developed, like literally like everything is being devoted into this. And that's why I was able to grow at such a rapid pace, because I always said that if I was able to do all of those things, you know, while I had the company working full time, married, two children, even when I was in graduate school and all of those things, that I was still running a company that was, you know, getting notoriety. But now that I'm devoting literally my whole life into this, so within these, I mean, it hasn't been a year, so next month, September 30th, makes it 1 year. So, you know, so within these 11 months, I mean, God has certainly been opening tremendous amount of doors.
Awesome. Let's praise God. So, Malia, so in the world of fashion modeling, like you mentioned about networking and relationships you formed over the years, I'm pretty sure you're not the only believer you ran into, you know, another Christian. I want to know, for example, you were in that world and you felt that you were being pressured, you were being forced to conform to different things that you, you know, didn't want to conform to or went against your truth. I'm considering how do you think a faith-based community like ours, like H4G, how can we help people that might be in that world who, because I share my story, for example, I spent some time working in the music industry and I've seen what the compromising things look like. But along with my time in there, I met so many other believers who were in that world and, you know, they conformed and they felt like, you know, they didn't want to come back to church because of it and things like that. But I just felt like there needs to be a way that the church can help meet people where they are and, you know, bring them, you know, closer to God and help them to learn how they can fulfill their calling, if they have a call, a legitimate calling in a specific field in order to walk in it. Because I believe there's some people who are doing stuff they don't have no business doing. And there are some people who are in the church who are too afraid to go into the world because they're afraid of compromise. And so I think that we need to find a way to help people who have a legitimate call to fashion to go in there and not be afraid of falling, not being afraid of losing their salvation. And I also feel like we need to help support people who are in there who need a way out, you know what I mean, or find their way back to God. So how do you think a faith-based community can come alongside someone that might be in a position like where you were or where you're in right now, and how can we help support that?
That's a great, great question. So all of my friends, we're all very spiritual. We all go to church together, and that's the only way I feel like we would survive this journey, period. And we've kind of all agreed to that. Two of my best friends are also entrepreneurs, and we became entrepreneurs around the same time, and we also regained our journey to God at the same time. And so to the conforming part of that, in a lot of industries, you do feel like you have to conform in order to succeed or in order to climb the ladder. And what we found is that you don't have to do that. The way that I became successful in my jewelry business or even in modeling was when I started to wear my hair natural. That was when I was my most authentic self. Now, you don't have to be natural, but for me, that's when I was my most authentic self. And then doors started to open along with other opportunities. So I think a lot of times...
Wait, is that because people saw your natural hair and felt like you have a good look, we can use you, or...
It's a combination. I think I would go to castings with straightened hair, or I would straighten my natural hair, thinking like, okay, and then I would look around the room and everyone had straight hair. So it was almost like me having natural hair made me different than everybody else in the room. So, and that, even in the fashion industry, when I would go into the office, I thought I had to have straight hair in order to look like everyone else. But that's where your mentality tells you you have to conform, and then you conform in other ways as well. But I would say that, you know, your spiritual journey and your career journey, or whatever your career goals are, they're not separate. It's not, I'm spiritual and then I have a career. One will guide the other. And I feel like that's how I know, like, everything that I do is guided and divinely everything I do, I feel like there's divine intervention involved, because I wouldn't be here today if that wasn't the case. And so I say, to how you merge the two is doing things like this, letting people know that you don't have to separate one from the other. Or, you know, I think you should gather your friends together and go to church, because as a creative, I know, and I feel like God was a creative. That's why he created us. Right? I feel like one of my favorite things to say when I was in a really dark place was, through the darkness there will be light. And I felt like in that moment of darkness is when I birthed my jewelry company. And I even had a dream a few months before I finally pulled the trigger to start the line. I was pregnant. And at the time, I'm like, oh, well, that's not possible. But it was him giving me a vision of me giving birth to something, giving life to something. And I think it was me giving birth to myself, like me re-seeing my life in a different way, and staying at a job for 5 years that I was unhappy with, I finally felt the courage to leave it. So I would say the way that you merge the two is that you show people that you discover your destiny by revisiting and renewing your belief in God.
Same question goes to you, Jeff. So, what do you, I form it a little bit differently then. Where do you believe, because we always talk about the world needs to change. And I really believe we're at a critical juncture in history where the church needs to change. I feel like the church needs to begin to, again, fulfill, like you said, revisit the call that God has given us to go into the world and have impact. And one of the concerns right now the world has is that the church is not engaged in community and society, what's really going on in the world with real issues. And you're actually facing those issues head on, but in a unique way. You know, you're not just telling boys you need to pull up your pants. You're not just telling them that, you know, that they need to take the durag off, but you're actually acting. Do they wear durag still? but you're actually going out and you're saying, listen, I'm going to teach you how to tie and tie. I'm going to teach you how to groom, how to be groomed, and things like that. So what do you think the church should do as an institution to help confront the ills that you have been facing, for example, like recidivism and juvenile incarceration, things like that?
I think that the church, but also people of God I think the church needs to teach, needs to continue to teach, you know, the congregations how to incorporate Christ into your lifestyle, right? You know, into your daily living. And how do you use the, Christ's foundational teaching into the world, right? So like me as an entrepreneur now, you know, there's a lot of times that I have to go out on faith, right? You know, there are a lot of times where, you know, I have cash flow issues, where I have a check that's, you know, a couple of $1,000s coming in, but I am broke right now, right? You know, so like now, you know, where the natural is compromised, right? That's where the supernatural steps in. And now it's more of a sense of knowing God's plan, knowing how to take the teachings of God and living it out, right? So I say all that to say that when it comes to community, I think, you know, many believers don't really understand the power that we have, right? Yes, you know, education is important. Yes, reading is important. And I'm constantly, you know, fueling my mind with new information, etc. But one thing that the world does not have is the Spirit of God living inside of me, right? You know, so I am constantly, you know, every time I'm going into a board meeting, right, I'm praying and I'm using discernment, etc. So I think that once believers start really, you know, ingraining scripture into our daily living, then that's when the world will change. Because think about it, right? You know, if you have the power of God living inside of you, right? What is an exam, right? You know, what is, you know, again, you know, like, I'm not the most super spiritual person, you know, my friends tell me, right? You know, but at the same time, my faith in God is so ingrained into my very being, and that's how I'm able to move. So to answer your question, I think that once we really have that full understanding of God's love, God's peace, God's power, God's greatness, and understanding that that is within you, then you will change, you will shift, you will move, right? And that's so powerful. And I think that many believers aren't taking advantage of God's greatness that's literally in us right now.
Wow. Wow. It's beautiful. All right. So you say ingraining Christ is not just putting scriptures up on my wall at work or something.
No. It's ingrained. I mean, no, definitely not. It is ingrained in you, right? And again, I think that is very important. I mean, again, you know, like, I'm not, and I certainly need to, you know, be more ingrained in scripture and, you know, and be more like, you know, like, you know, like having a big Bible and all that, right? Like, that is very important, right? But again, like, I think that, you know, when I look at communities, right, when I look at, you know, society as a whole, and when I look at, you know, people of color, and we're disenfranchised, you know, some of us, many of us, right? But now it's like, if we were to continue to go to school, continue to thrive, continue to make money, but understand our power and our strength. Me, I can tell you, I'm living on faith every single day, right? And I'm also in very compromising positions, right? You know, so I've worked in government, I've worked in corporate America, I'm an entrepreneur now, etc. So people are constantly throwing ideas and pitching me on a number of things on a consistent basis. But if you know your foundation and where it can never be compromised, then build on that, right? So people of God, I think we really need to understand that wherever it is that we go, we are Christians first. And Christians does not mean that you're weak. It actually means that you're very strong, right? So I walk in my calling every single day.
Awesome. All right. So y'all, pretty much out of time. So I want you, once again, to talk about your current business, what you do, how, if anybody here wants to find you, connect with you, things like that, just share with us really quick.
So I sell my jewelry online, madebymalia.com. Shameless plug, I have some business cards in the back. And if you want to connect with me, I'm on social media, Made by Malia as well. And what I'm up to now is basically continuing that momentum. I feel like in the last, my business just turned 4 last month, so I'm really excited about that. What I really feel like going forward, my challenges is remaining motivated, because when you manifest something, when you envision something and you see it come to life, that can be intimidating in itself. And I've spoken to other entrepreneurs who have said the same thing. When you see something vividly, and then everything that you see, it's kind of like how you said you wrote down everything and you fulfilled it, it can be a scary thing. And so for me right now is creating bigger goals so that I don't get so close to them that I run away. So what I'm working on right now is just making sure that I make Made by Malia a household brand and attainable at every department store. So that's what I'm working on.
Like those goals. And I believe you have jewelry in the back, so it's for ladies only.
For now, I got some men's stuff on.
So I'm really excited where Groom Success is heading. We are opening up our membership now, right? So, you know, we have a duplex loft in central Brooklyn where, you know, it's a retail co-working and gathering space designed to help men of color learn, grow, connect, and build. So during the day, guys can come in, plug in their laptop, meet a client, work out of the space, etc. And in the evenings and on weekends, you know, we have events and seminars and mixers that are really geared towards the male towards the black male experience. And every content that we produce, it doesn't come out of my head saying, okay, what are we gonna do next, right? You know, I'm constantly surveying, you know, guys and asking questions and really getting a good understanding of what the problems are that our community face, and you know, providing a space to give you the solutions to your problems while charging you for it, right? You know what I mean? So, so you know, it's a great strategy because I understand what you want, and you know, will continue to come back because I'm giving you, because I'm solving your problems in a sense, right? So, you know, if you are on social media, on Instagram, you know, our handle is at Groomed Success, so it's GROOMED Success, and keep us in prayer, you know, because this is only the beginning. You know, we're in conversations of having more locations all across the city, all across the country, and we're about to, you know, start raising some capital. You know, our goal is to raise, you know, a couple of $1 million so that we could, you know, really scale this. Because right now, just, you know, like, it's the grind. And my wife is, you know, saying, when am I going to come home, right? You know, so, you know, like, I really want to build out a team and then really, you know, have a stronger core so that we can continue to duplicate all across the world.
All right. Excellent. Come on, let's give them a round of applause. What God is doing in their lives. Let's all stand. We're going to pray. We're going to pray into this. And last time what we did was we had our guests pray for us, you know, because I believe that what God has started in you, what he's imparted in you guys have something that you can impart into our congregation, right? So I want you guys to just pray a simple prayer over us. Let's grab hands with those next to you. If you have a vision in your heart, a dream, a plan that God has given you that you've been sitting on or sleeping on or afraid of, you know, we want to pray that that dream will come alive in you, and it'll annoy you to the point, as it did with Jeff, that you have to change. You have to make moves, all right? So let's receive this blessing. Ladies first, once again.
Bow your heads. So I would like to pray for anyone in here who is a creative or who has been struggling to find what their calling is, that they finally discover and unlock that calling. And I pray that they don't run from it, that they don't think that it's been too long, they waited too long, time has passed, they're too old, no one's gonna gravitate towards that idea. I want them to believe that no matter how long it's been or how long it takes, that journey that you feel in your heart was planted and that you need to go in that direction. I also wanna pray that no matter how many times you feel like you have failed, you only need one yes in your life, and that yes is God. Yeah. And I just want to pray that you receive clarity and you manifest that dream in your heart, because it was planted there for a reason. It's not by mistake. So don't wait, go now.
Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we thank you for this amazing time of fellowship, oh Lord God. I pray for the congregation, oh Lord God. I pray, oh Lord God, that you may continue to bless them, oh Lord God. Ask, oh Lord, that for everybody that has a mission and everybody has a vision and a plan, oh Lord. I pray, God, that you, Lord, that they really take advantage of your word. and that they are living the life that you call them to live, oh Lord God. Lord God, I ask, oh Lord God, that you ignite the fire in our lives and our hearts, oh Lord, that when we walk out into society, that society looks at us to say that there is something different about us, oh Lord God, that they not see us, but that they see you through us, oh Lord. So many of us have many gifts and talents and dreams, but we are afraid to expose it into society, Lord. But Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega and the Creator, and you are great, O Lord. So let us be great in you, O Lord Jesus. We thank you, O Lord God, for this amazing ministry, O Lord God. We ask, O Lord, that you continue to bless the leadership, O Lord God, that we, O Lord God, that you will continue to allow us to grow, O Lord, that everybody in here, O Lord, that we grow financially, that we grow spiritually, that we grow academically, O Lord God, that when we go back into work, O Lord, that they would see something different in us, O Lord God, that we, O Lord, are walking in our true purpose and our true calling, O Lord God, that we, O Lord, know the power that we have, and that power is rest upon Jesus Christ, O Lord. So we thank you, O Lord, for your love and for your peace and for your amazing grace, O Lord, and thank you for understanding our frailty, O Lord God. Thank you, O Lord God, for understanding our limitations, but you also being the gap to fill us when we are weak, O Lord. Lord God, we thank you, Lord. Lord God, we love you, O Lord Jesus, and let this be a life-changing experience, O Lord God, that we, O Lord, walk in who you designed us to be, O Lord God, that we are no longer looking at someone else's dreams, Lord, but that we are looking at what you designed for us to do in this world, O Lord God, that we walk in purpose, that we walk in vision, that we walk in a mission, O Lord God. And we thank you, O Lord God, that you are raising up great leaders here, O Lord God, that, Lord, we understand the purpose and the mission statement for our lives, O Lord God. So we thank you, O Lord. We love you, O Lord God. And let's continue to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm like, Lord, you stretch your hands to them. And now, Father, we bless them. We bless Jeff. We bless Malia, Father. We pray that you will cause your face to shine on them, to shine on their businesses and their pursuits and their aspirations. Holy Spirit, we pray, God, that you will continue to keep them from the evil one. I pray, God, that you will continue to prosper them in all of their ways. Everything they set their hands to do, may it prosper, and may they have good success as their soul prospers. I pray, Holy Spirit, that they will never, ever forget that you are the source of all inspiration. And Lord, as we seek your kingdom first, everything else will be added to us. So, Father God, may the kingdom continue to be at the forefront of their minds, at the forefront of their dreams. And Father God, we pray that you will continue to push them forward and push them deeper into you, Lord God, that you will continue to put them in high in places that are so, oh God, bigger than them, that they have no choice but to depend on you. We break mediocrity now. We break the desire to go back and to withdraw and to play small. But Father God, may you continue to remind them of their greatness. And we pray now, Lord God, that your people will continue to be assigned to intercede over them, over the people that they're going to reach and they're going to touch. This is just the beginning. So I pray for clarity. I pray for vision. I pray for prophecy to continue to perform itself in their lives, oh God. And we thank you, oh Lord God, that it is already done, that your name is being glorified, and that you will continue to get the glory out of their lives. So we give you all the praise, all the honor now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. Let's give a round of applause one more time, Jeff and Malia.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.